This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him the Lord needs it." Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Then he entered the temple area and began driving out those who were selling. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers."
Thank you so much, Dot, for reading God's word to us this morning. And Morag for those prayers. Thank you so much. We're in a series of talks in Luke's Gospel. And those talks, I can't see it particularly well perhaps on the screen, but we've gone through the beginning of Luke's Gospel, and we explored together. Peter began the series of talks about preparing the way for Jesus, and John the Baptist did just that, preparing the way for Jesus' arrival. And then we explored about what it means for Jesus to connect with the Holy Spirit and what it means to live a life open to the Spirit of God. And then we heard from Nick about Jesus' wilderness experience and what it means to perhaps go into the desert in life as a symbol of what it means to experience dry spirituality, but actually be brought out of that. And then we heard also about Jesus' own baptism, and that's the reason for the rocks. If you were here last week, I wasn't just carrying Matilda today, but last week carrying these big rocks. And we built a cairn, which is something that you see on the top of mountains as a symbol and a sign of marking the way. And in the River Jordan, where Jesus was baptized, way back, the people of God, the Israelites, built a sort of a stone cairn of 12 big stones to represent the 12 tribes of Israel and this demarcation of living one life back in the day and then moving on, marking the way to a future life in God. So we've journeyed a little bit, and now we jump all the way from the early part of Luke's Gospel into chapter 19. This is Palm Sunday. Have you got a palm? Everyone got a palm? You need to raise it up and wave it about. This is what I used to do in my Methodist church back when I grew up in a proper denomination. No, sorry. Joking. Wave those palm branches. This is a celebratory day. A day you can... That's enough now for folks. Sorry you haven't got any online, but maybe we should post them out to you. But it's great to have palm branches, to be reminded of this triumphant entry into the city of God, Jerusalem. And I'm going to do something this morning, which for some of you is going to be a bit of a, oh no. And for others of you, it's going to be a, oh yeah. And it's the word alliteration. Yeah. You love this, Catherine, because Catherine likes things just right. There's going to be some words with the same letter. And I'm going to do a sort of a really, really brief tour through these words. And the first is city. It's all about Jesus entering the holy city, Jerusalem. Jesus going to this city, which has so much symbolism, so much history. It's a city full of joy and celebration and hope and expectation, but it's also a city full of pain and tears. People talk about the soul of a city. What's the soul of the city of Birmingham? I just didn't say Birmingham City. I said the city of Birmingham. What's the soul of the city of Birmingham? What's the soul of Shirley? People talk about a soul of a place. And there is a sense where we could describe Birmingham or Solihull or Shirley. We could describe a place. How would you describe Jerusalem? 3,000 years before was ransacked by David and the army over the Jebusites, a city of history and of pain and of war, but also a city of hope and of joy. It's a city where people think that it's the place to meet with God because that's where the temple is. The temple was built there. If you want to meet God back in the day, you went to Jerusalem. You gave thanks in Jerusalem because it's the place where you remember the Passover, that moment of liberation for the people of God away from the slavery in Egypt, to the promised land, crossing over the Jordan River into that land flowing with milk and honey, which would reach to the city of God, Jerusalem. It has so much symbolism and significance to it. It has a heart, it has a soul. Perhaps it's a broken heart and a broken soul, but nonetheless, it's the place that people journeyed to as pilgrims to meet with God. Where do you journey to meet with God? Some of you journeyed today from London and other places too, Surrey. You journeyed far. Some of you journeyed just around the corner. We pilgrim, we journey to meet with God. And that's what people did in the city of Jerusalem. So when Jesus goes into the city, he's joining with the crowd to meet and celebrate God. But he does that by a strange route. He walks to Jerusalem only in the last part as he pre-planned to get the colt, the second C. Jesus said to two disciples, go to the village, find a colt there, which no one has ever ridden. The symbolism is not only of the soul of the city, it's in the taking of the colt. Why? Because this foal, this young donkey, is enacting Zechariah 9:9, the prophecy of the coming king to the city of God, riding on a donkey. It's the imagery of humility. Normally, kings, of course, come with great chariots and fanfare and military aplomb. But here, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the coming King, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, rides into the city of God on a donkey, lowly, humble. You know, I love leaders of humility. no big fanfare. But Jesus pre-plans this, not only signifying the humble king, but also enacting the prophecy of the past. And then they're met, Jesus and his disciples, his followers, as they go into the city, not with palm branches. You could wave those palm branches again, wave them up in the air, but actually, only one or two of you did, sorry, you're not with me, but a few of you did, which is great. But I don't want you to wave those palm branches, because Luke signifies something different and yet similar. I'm not going to, do I ask you to do this? No. If you're wearing a jacket, take it off and swing it in the air like you just don't care. Because it's cloaks, people. It's not palm branches. Why does Luke make this distinction and difference? I mean, we get the palm branches thing. We get them handed out every year, but we don't get handed out at the doors. Here's a cloak, a prayer shawl. I think it's called a tillit, T-I-L-L-I-T, which is like a Jewish prayer shawl. And it has four corners to it, describing the four corners of the world. And actually, around the neck of the prayer shawl is written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So actually, we should, at Palm Sunday, be handing out these prayer shawls and waving them, not only in church, but in the street, Stratford Road. Folks, you need to know there's a coming king. These cloaks of celebration were put onto the colt, and the people put the cloaks onto the road. Imagine if, not only on Good Friday when we do the Walk of Witness, but we actually got together as churches in Shirley and said, let's stop the traffic and put our Jack Wolfskin, which is very middle class, I've got one, sorry, but jacket on the Stratford Road. Let's stop the traffic. Let's play it loud. There's a coming king. Hosanna. The Lord saves. Hosanna to the Stratford Road. The Lord saves. Hosanna to my favourite place nearly on the Stratford Road, the Desco Lounge. The Lord saves. And the coronation. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. If you were to read Psalm 118, back with the ancient song of the Psalms, it said, blessed is he. But now the people sing out Psalm 118, changing the word he to the word king. They recognize Jesus not just as a he, but the very Lord of life, the King of Kings, the ruler over all, the one who's in control, the one who can be trusted. That's why we sing Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna to the coming king. He's not just an individual. He's the Lord of life. And we've got a coronation coming up of King Charles, which will be celebrated. And no doubt there'll be a bit of bunting around. But we need the cloaks, the banners, the signs, our life, telling out a greater story still of a greater king still who will outlast the years. But you know, there's a whole heap of criticism too. Some of the Pharisees were a bit grumpy. This celebratory procession of Jesus, the humble king on a donkey, cloaks thrown everywhere, palm branches as well. It was all going on, celebrating the Passover of the past, but the present breaking in, Jesus, this coming king, bringing salvation and rescue to the whole world. Well, there's still some grumpy, moaning people on the sidelines. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." That emoji frown probably hits it where it's at. So often, not only back in the day, but dare I say, even in the present, in our own Christian communities, sometimes, and here's the challenge, criticism can drown out celebratory worship. criticism can drown out celebratory worship. There's something in this passage which is a challenge to us all at times. Because we could be the bystander with the cloak celebrating, and we could be the bystander shoulder to shoulder saying, take your cloaks down. Enough of this hopefulness. Enough of this celebration. Enough of this worship. Stop. That sometimes happens within the people of God, unfortunately. And it's right here in this passage. I think we need to be, what I'm suggesting, on the side of celebration rather than the side of criticism. Let celebration drown out criticism. And this is the part that I really wanted to share. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. Yes, he is the king, but he's the king who cries. Often we think the king needs to be stoic and removed and separated from the people, but when Jesus approaches a city, he weeps over it. In this service, why I was so touched by Morag's prayers is because she didn't just speak. Sorry to say this, Morag, but there was a heartfelt sense of tears. I loved it. The highlight for me today, and when I go home, I'm still going to be on cloud nine about it, was not the playing of the triangle, sorry. But that was funny. But just running around the church with Matilda. And laughter and joy and celebration and innocence and goodness. But as I ran around, there were actually a couple of people for whom today might have been difficult because they were crying. And I want to say to those who are perhaps in pain or hurting or struggling today, you have a Savior, a King, one who is trusted, who understands and is with you in your pain. The incredible thing about the march, gentle though it was, raucous as well, which is a bit of a paradox. And there's another paradox, because this Palm Sunday is full of celebration, but full of tears too. This week, I watched on TV Bear Grylls interview President Zelensky in Kyiv. Anyone else watch that at all or not? Maybe no one. Channel 4. Thank Brian and Maureen. Oh, well done, Ben. Ben, Maureen and Brian, brilliant. We'll have a coffee and chat about it afterwards. It was incredible. Channel 4, where Bear Grylls goes and interviews President Zelensky on the streets of Kyiv. And they both share about the soul of Kyiv and the crying that has happened, of course, throughout the city. But Bear Grylls, as you know, is a Christian, you may know, is a Christian. And in his own gentle, wise, personable way, I think he was drawing alongside President Zelensky, and they were both sharing pain, but also hope. Tears are God-given, but they're never the end of the story. Jesus weeps with each of us in our lives to lead us on, not that we remain. So whether this week has been a week full of tears or the week to come might be tough, you have one who understands. And the last thing is that Jesus said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. Well, as we journey through Holy Week to the cross and the resurrection, the wonder, the hope, the joy, the celebration, what the world is longing for, whether it be in Kyiv, Jerusalem, Birmingham, Solihull, Shirley, London, wherever. Soul of city, soul of rural land, the world is crying out for peace. I think of Matilda. What kind of world is she going to grow up in? Florence too. I think of my own children. What kind of world are they going to grow up in? I think of you, and maybe you think of me. We think of Paul going through all he's been through. What kind of world are we living in? And when we explore that question, there's only one response. We long for peace. A peace that the world cannot give, but the crying King of Kings offers. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. The world cannot give such peace, but in me, in Jesus, you will experience peace. And if you don't believe that, even the stones will cry out in praise and celebration and hope and wonder. The very foundations of Jerusalem and Kyiv and other places will cry out in hopefulness for a better world, a new start, the breaking in of God's kingdom. And perhaps, just perhaps, you may be drawn ever closer to the cornerstone who is the Lord of all. Amen. Amen. Just before we sing, I think it's Cornerstone. Is that right? Catherine, you're going to love this because this is the alliteration all out here. But the city, cult, cloaks, coronation, criticism, crying, and the cross. All that journey is leading towards is you saying, I'm committed this Easter to seeking the peace that only Jesus can bring. That's what the invitation is this morning. And if you've got that peace, brilliant. But maybe this morning you want to say, I'm going to pray for that peace for Matilda to experience in life to come. Maybe you're wanting someone in this church who is broken and struggling and their tears are pretty much every day. You may want to pray for that person to have that peace this Easter. You may want to do as Paul suggested, text someone and say, peace be with you. And that's it. No long texts. My mum, she sends long texts. And I just give a couple of kisses at the end and then give her a call. It doesn't have to be a long text. Peace be with you. Let's sing Cornerstone.